Good morning. This is Dallas Townsend with the CBS World News Roundup. Senior officials of six Western nations are conferring today in London, pondering the impact of the Soviet Union's military move into Afghanistan. Susan Peterson reports.
In the Council Chamber of Britain's Foreign Office, Deputy Secretary of State Warren Christopher is meeting representatives from five other allied nations, Italy, Canada, West Germany, Britain, and France, to discuss Soviet intervention in Afghanistan. Americans quickly called the London meeting during the weekend, after reports of a large-scale buildup of Russian forces in Afghanistan. It's thought Christopher will brief the Allies on the American view of the situation, then try to coordinate the West's reaction. Though nothing is planned, it's possible that the representatives might emerge with some sort of concerted action after today's talks. Britain, for one, has already joined the U.S. in taking a tough line on the recent Soviet action. Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher lodged a strongly worded protest, saying she was profoundly disturbed by the Kremlin's thrust into Afghanistan. Susan Peterson, CBS News, London.
CBS News correspondent Bruce Dunning was in Kabul yesterday, and he recorded the scene at the Afghan capital's airport.
Kabul Airport had been closed since the violent coup, but when commercial flights began landing again, the first arrivals could see Russian troops camped close to the runway. This is the airport where Russian transport planes by the hundreds landed beginning on Christmas Day, bringing in the troops and their equipment. There are an estimated 6,000 troops in Kabul itself. The Russians are obviously in charge, manning or guarding key installations. Only an occasional Afghani soldier is seen on the street. There seems to be no question that the Russians intend to make Afghanistan a Soviet satellite. One diplomat based here said the Soviet scenario for this country is the same as it was when Soviet troops crushed the liberal regime in Czechoslovakia in 1968. The Soviets are apparently here to stay, and they seem determined to make that fact perfectly clear to the United States and to the rest of the world. Bruce Dunning, CBS News, Kabul, Afghanistan.
Soon after Dunning recorded that report, he was expelled from Afghanistan, and he is now in New Delhi, where about 200 Afghan students staged a protest demonstration today outside the Soviet embassy. The Chinese have formally protested the Soviet intervention. The Soviet ambassador in Peking was summoned to the foreign ministry this morning and told that China regards the Soviet action as a threat to the security of China, one of the countries bordering on Afghanistan. Peking demands, quote, that the Soviet authorities immediately stop their aggression and intervention in Afghanistan and withdraw all their armed forces from that country. Moscow says the troops were sent there to prevent, again, quote, the transformation of Afghanistan into a base for preparation of imperialist aggression against the Soviet Union. The United Nations Security Council goes into session in New York this morning, and Richard C. Hotlett reports that it's moving toward firm action on the Iranian crisis.
The Security Council is expected quickly to approve a tough resolution presented by the United States. It will condemn the continued detention of the hostages and call again for their immediate release. But it will also break new ground with a deadline and a concrete threat. If Iran has not complied by January 7th, a week from today, the Council will impose mandatory economic sanctions. The United States has demanded nothing less and has the strong support of its Western friends. But some of the non-aligned have expressed the fear that this threat could provoke Iran to defiance. Nevertheless, the estimate now is that 11 of the 15 Council members will approve and that the Soviet Union, which could use its veto, will simply abstain. As the Council moves to the vote, Secretary General Waldheim will be leaving for Tehran. The Iranians yesterday at last accepted his suggestion that he come to see what might be done to release the hostages and end the crisis. His report to the Council by January 7th will largely determine whether and how the Council then moves to impose the sanctions. Richard C. Hottle at CBS News, United Nations.
Waldheim is due in Tehran tomorrow, and Randy Daniels reports some confusion over the way his visit should be handled.
Iranian officials have not yet decided how to treat Secretary General Waldheim's trip to Iran. He was not extended an invitation, according to Foreign Minister Sadiq Ghosh-Zadeh. But there is no opposition to his mission, which the Iranians are now describing as a fact-finding tour. The militants holding the American embassy and the 50 hostages inside said earlier that they have no special opinion about the impending Waldheim visit and have now adopted a policy of silence. The militants say they are still following the orders of Ayatollah Khomeini. A spokesman for Iran's ruling Revolutionary Council also underscored the point that the fate of the hostages is in the hands of Khomeini saying only the imam can decide. There are no guarantees that Waldheim will even see the hostages or Khomeini at this point, which makes the prospect of securing the release of the Americans remote. Randy Daniels, CBS News, Tehran.
A spokesman at Khomeini's headquarters in Qom said this morning that the future will tell whether the Ayatollah meets with Waldheim. There have been reports attributed to Khomeini's office that Khomeini will not see Waldheim, but the spokesman said those reports are all wrong. Time magazine has picked Khomeini as Man of the Year, saying that as leader of Iran's revolution, he gave the 20th century a frightening lesson in the shattering power of irrationality and of the ease with which terrorism can be adopted as government policy. As no one needs to be reminded, this is the last day of 1979, the year when the recession was supposed to arrive, ending the recovery that began after the last recession, which was caused by the same factors that are believed to be causing this one. But Mitchell Krauss reports that at year's end, economists differed on whether the downturn had actually come.
All agree that the combination of inflation and an oil crisis made recession inevitable. And the same old casualties of the past are expected to suffer again, housing and the poor. During 1979, the economic scenario was written in large part by events in the Middle East. Hopes for peace between Israel and her neighbors were overshadowed by events in Iran. An oil workers' strike late last year and the growing protest against the Shah shortened oil supplies and lengthened gasoline lines. Prices soared and driving slowed. The auto industry was severely impacted and the weakest maker, Chrysler, plunged toward bankruptcy, only to be pulled out at the last minute by a federal loan guarantee package. The drop in autos cut consumer confidence. General sales slowed, but inflation did not. Soaring energy prices pushed everything else up, and the government moved to curb the phenomenon by causing a rise in interest rates to record highs. This hit housing like a proverbial ton of bricks, although when gas lines disappeared and drivers reappeared, pent-up consumer buying delayed the arrival of the recession and gave some false hope that it might not come after all. But the second chapter of the Iranian crisis, the hostage drama, and the year-end OPEC meeting put another dose of inflation into the economic pot and again weakened consumer and business confidence in the future, thus ushering in the new decade on a decidedly pessimistic note. Mitchell Krauss, CBS News, New York.
As if to underscore that note, the price of gold has reached another high. It was fixed in London this morning at $524 an ounce. Oh, what a beautiful morning. A trite expression, obviously. But in the hands of Richard Rodgers, it became memorable, along with nearly countless other grand and glorious songs. Now Rodgers is dead at the age of 77, and Deborah Potter tells us about him.
His Broadway career spanned 60 years, the list of hit shows including two Pulitzer Prize winners, South Pacific and Oklahoma. In all, there were 43 musicals, more than 1,000 songs.
I don't think there was anybody in the history of the American musical theater that compared with Richard Rodgers as far as his contributions are concerned.
Stanley Green, a longtime friend, says that Rodgers was an innovator, the first to tackle more serious themes than Boy Meets Girl. A critic once said that his music is so simple, we often forget how good it is. Fellow songwriter Sammy Kahn says it's great.
Beyond genius, you know, the word genius is used so easily, but when you speak of Richard Rodgers, genius takes on its full meaning.
The composer of The King and I and The Sound of Music once said he wanted to write tunes for the working man, tunes he could whistle, like Getting to Know You and Climb Every Mountain. Singer John Raitt says his death came as a shock.
When I felt I'd lost my theatrical father, it was Richard Rodgers who first gave me my big break in playing Oklahoma, and then, of course, Carousel, which is his and my favorite show.
Oklahoma is now in revival on Broadway. It's one of many Rodgers musicals to have become a staple of the American theater. Deborah Potter, CBS News, New York.
A county judge today ordered an end to Cleveland's 10-week-old teacher strike and told the teachers to be back at work on Wednesday.
CBS News, the leading indicators indicate downward. Good morning, this is Reed Collins reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The November list of leading indicators is out this morning, and Susan Spencer has that story in Washington.
The indicators out today would seem to vindicate those economists who say that the recession already is at hand. 7 of the 10 plunged sharply in November, falling overall a hefty 1.3% from the previous month. Leading the decline, a huge drop in building permits, a sign the level of housing starts, which already is off, is not likely to pick up anytime soon. But economists say that apart from the size of the indicator's drop, November's decline takes on an added significance because this is the second month in a row that the indicators have fallen more than 1%, something which hasn't happened since mid-1974. It was a harbinger then of the deep recession of 1975. Which all in all is hardly much encouraging news for the start of a new year. Susan Spencer, CBS News, Washington.
More news after this.
Discover quality.
And discover big savings, too, with Ben Franklin's Item of the Month. During the month of January, get Ben Franklin's 1.2-liter AirPod drink dispenser. The touch-button top pumps hot or cold liquid without spills. Just $4.99 at participating Ben Franklin stores.
Discover Ben Franklin, where quality is right at home.
A cold? That's all I need.
For aches and fever, all you need is Bayer aspirin.
The flu, that's all I need.
For aches and fever, all you need is Bayer aspirin. Of all medicines available for aches and fever of cold or flu, doctors recommend aspirin most. And Bayer is 100% pure aspirin. If this winter,
all I need is a cold or flu.
Rest, fluids, and for aches and fever, all you need is Bayer aspirin. Use only as directed.
The United Nations Security Council is preparing to vote on a resolution offered by the United States, which would foresee economic sanctions on Iran if it fails to respond to Secretary General Waldheim's personal mission to get the hostages released. Waldheim flies to Tehran today. The resolve says if he cannot win the freedom of the hostages, then the Council is to meet again January 7th to consider further measures the charter says can be taken. Condemnations continue pouring into Moscow over its invasion of Afghanistan, but Russian troops continue pouring into Afghanistan, an estimated 45,000 of them committed now. The United States has reassured Pakistan, and that has alarmed India, which has called in the American ambassador for talks in New Delhi. A judge has ordered an end to the city of Cleveland's 75-day-old teachers strike. The judge says the teachers are to be back in the classrooms Wednesday. Judge Frederick Coleman also ordered the school board and the teachers union to resume negotiations and remain confined, as he put it, until that dispute settled. Israel's Defense Minister Weizmann returned to Tel Aviv today after talks in Washington, in which he got a promise of still more U.S. aid for Israel. Weizmann wouldn't say how much, but he said it's generous considering the other problems the United States has right now.
Considering the internal problems and external problems of the United States, Afghanistan, Tehran, inflation, election year, I thought that this was a very significant show of friendship by the American administration.
The ore freighter that turned over last week off the coast of British Columbia is to be sunk today by explosive charges. The vessel will go down in Canadian waters because a tow line being used to get the hulk out to open sea snapped. Of 30 men aboard, only 2 bodies were found. A search of the ship by divers produced no further clues. The last days of the freighter left the Coast Guard with a slight embarrassment on its record. Early today, the cutter Monroe tried to sink the freighter. It fired 16 rounds from its 5-inch cannon. All of the shells missed, and they called in the diver to plant the explosives. Now this.
Hey, buddy, can you give a fella a break?
Sorry, fella, I only give at the office.
I'm not looking for a handout.
What can I do for you?
Help save my life and breath.
Do you need mouth-to-mouth breathing? I'm not the type.
No, but you're smoking. And your smoke is hitting me where I breathe. And what with an allergy and pollution, you're not helping any.
Sorry, I didn't mean to bother you.
Sure, but the fact is that your smoke is getting in my eyes and nose and throat. And that's not a good song for my lungs.
Well, you could always move away.
I do, and then there's another one puffing away in my face. How about a deal? Like the Lung Association says, smoke if you must, but make smoking a private affair. Or quit. Secondhand smoke is truly offensive for non-smokers.
Well, I'll give it a try.
Wish you would, otherwise they're going to hang a tag on you.
A tag?
Yeah, cigarettes are a health hazard, and so are you.
Gotcha, buddy. Now, about that handout...
Save it. Let me give you one. Your Lung Association says that giving up smoking is a matter of life and breath.
In London, the price of gold was fixed at $524 an ounce this morning. That is $16 higher than the close last week. This is a holiday in Europe, and the gold markets will close after half a day of business. On Wall Street, which is open, after 1 hour of trading, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is off a fraction. The index indicates down 0.51, which puts the Dow Industrial Average at 838.40. Volume on the New York Exchange in the first hour has been 7,850,000 shares. Reed Collins, CBS News.
Newsbreak. I'm Jerry Landay reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Today, America marks the passing of a man who spent the better part of 60 years creatively reinventing the American musical theater. And this is part of the legacy he leaves us. Richard Rodgers. Last night he passed away in his New York home at the age of 77. Rodgers' story, his contribution, can only be described in superlatives. Hits so numerous they can't be counted. In six decades, 42 Rodgers musicals, most of them smashes, and most of them with only two partners, Oscar Hammerstein, who died in 1960, and before that, Lawrence Hart. It was back in 1919 that Rodgers formed his partnership with Hart with a song called Any Old Place, sold to the producers of a long-forgotten review called A Lonely Romeo. Much of the rest Rodgers and Hart wrote will never be forgotten. The Connecticut Yankee, Jumbo, On Your Toes, Babes in Arms, The Boys from Syracuse. For 25 years, Rodgers wrote the music. The often volatile Hart would then fit his trippingly brilliant lyrics to it, and the hits and showstoppers multiplied. But personal problems eroded Hart's creative output. He died in 1942, and Rodgers began the search for a new partner. In that year, he found him. Oklahoma, the first smash by the new partnership of Richard Rodgers and Oscar Hammerstein, their tribute to pioneer America. That musical revolutionized the American musical stage. When they were putting it together, theater people smelled disaster. Nobody would come to see a musical horse opera, they warned. Nobody would come to see a musical with no established stars in it. Nobody would come to see a musical with serious ballet. Agnes DeMille changed the course of theatrical dance with it. Audiences filled house after house to make box office history. Then came another Rodgers and Hammerstein revolution, typified by Carousel, and these two smash hits, South Pacific and King and I. With South Pacific and King and I, Rodgers and Hammerstein dared to have something serious to say to their audiences. They had a message that explored the strains of bigotry, of racial and cultural integration. You've got to be taught to hate and fear, Hammerstein's lyrics ran. In that Rodgers and Hammerstein collaboration, the lyrics came first. Rodgers would tell an interviewer months before he died of the way they worked. When Oscar handed me a lyric, it was built like a bridge. All I had to do was find the right notes. But the notes seemed always to be right. One admirer would say, Rodgers' music was so simple we tend to forget how good it is. Brilliant musical themes flowed from him like a Niagara. Rodgers was the Mozart of the modern musical stage. Was Richard Rodgers' favorite Rodgers and Hammerstein classic? Carousel, the story of a man who died and was given a second chance to return to life and correct his mistakes. Too heavy, warned the Cassandras. It won't work. It did work. And there was The Sound of Music, the story of the Trapp family singers. And the title also embraces the epitaph of Richard Rodgers. When I finish a tune, he once said, I'm high. I feel fulfilled, full of energy. I'm pleased. I'm proud that I'm capable of an act of creation. Can you think of a better reason for going on? Richard Rogers' pen is stilled now, his piano silent. But through his music, Richard Rogers will go on creating. Newsbreak. On the final day of 1979, I'm Jerry Landay, CBS News.
CBS News. The UN Security Council is getting ready to vote on an American resolution threatening economic sanctions against Iran. I'm Arlene Sanders reporting on the CBS Radio Network. At the United Nations, Richard C. Hodlett reports.
Last-minute efforts to soften the wording of the tough American resolution delayed the meeting of the Security Council until a few minutes ago. Reliable sources tell CBS News that China, among others, had misgivings about the paragraph that, quote, condemns the continued detention of the hostages in Tehran. The Chinese are deeply disturbed by the flood of Soviet troops into Afghanistan. They have noted Iran's sharp criticism of that move and think the shock of events in Afghanistan may cause Iran to mend its fences with the rest of the world, winding down its confrontation with the United States. With this in mind, the Chinese, who strongly oppose the holding of the hostages, want to have the word condemns changed to deplores, removing one element in the tough resolution which Iranian leaders might find provocative. Reportedly, China said it would have to abstain if the change were not made, and it appears that the United States, which wants the Chinese vote, is prepared to make it. The rest of the resolution, the deadline of January 7th, and the threat of mandatory sanctions stands as before. Richard C. Hoddle at CBS News, United Nations.
More news after this.
The Kmart Camera Department presents Goof Proof and a whole lot more.
Put Kmart in the picture. With Goof Proof, you don't pay. For prints of any shot you take that don't come out okay.
Jeffrey, this time I got six whole pictures right.
I mean, I can't even tell which of these guys is you.
You mean you actually paid for six pictures?
Yeah!
Boy, I bet Kmart is excited.
Put Kmart in the picture for finishing and more. Get flashes, film, and cameras at a Kmart savings store.
Kmart has great ways to keep your goof-proof prints, too. Through January 5th, for instance, you can save one-third off the regular price on a magnetic photo album with five two-sided pages, post or snap binder, solid or scenic cover. On sale at $2.97.
Put Kmart in the picture and make your pictures nice. And pay for just the prints you like at a Kmart kind of price.
In Afghanistan, rebel leaders say they have four regiments resisting the Soviet takeover of their capital, Kabul. They say their forces number up to 20,000 troops. At least 45,000 Soviets are reported to have crossed into Afghanistan. Leaders of two rebel groups say a showdown between their forces and the Soviets is inevitable. Some 250 Soviet soldiers already have been killed or wounded as they backed up Afghanistan's coup last Thursday. This from a Western diplomatic source in New Delhi, quoting an informant in Kabul. The diplomat says the Soviets are now fanning out through the country to battle Muslim insurgents. The government's index of leading economic indicators is out and down. It fell 1.3% in November. That's a big drop, similar to October's decline. In fact, the index hasn't fallen so sharply, more than 1%, 2 months in a row since mid-1974, just before the 1975 recession. Teachers in Cleveland have been ordered back to school. They've been out 75 days demanding more money. Today, a judge ordered the teachers' union and school board to resume talks and keep talking until the issue is settled. And he told teachers to report to their classrooms Wednesday morning. Union sources have predicted the Cleveland teachers will not go back. Hundreds of black nationalist guerrillas are said to be breaking the Rhodesian ceasefire agreement by slipping into the country from Mozambique. Border crossing is forbidden under the pact. To stop them, Rhodesian troops have been dispatched to the border. British colonial governor Lord Soames says the infiltration does not mean the ceasefire is ruined. In his words, there are problems. We expected problems. A barge loaded with chlorine gas and explosives is tossing on rough seas near San Francisco's Golden Gate. The Coast Guard is assisting the effort to haul it in. The barge is one of two that broke loose from a tugboat early today. More news after this.
When you see her,
You walk on by, you don't know him, you won't even try.
That's Della Reese, singing for the Epilepsy Foundation of America. Did you know that epilepsy can happen to anyone, at any age, and from many causes? Serious head injuries suffered in car accidents are a major cause of acquired epilepsy in adults, and wearing seat belts can prevent it. There'll be 100,000 new cases of epilepsy this year. Some don't have to happen.
When you see her, you walk on by, you don't know him. You won't even try. They don't want you to hold their hands. They just need you to understand.
I'm Adam Wade, asking you to help light the candle of understanding by supporting your local chapter of the Epilepsy Foundation of America. They're in the phone book under epilepsy.
A retired naval engineer has a plan to give people more time off while increasing production. Wallace Barlow has a calendar that divides the year into 12 months of 28 days each, with holidays at the end of each month. He says that saves productivity by keeping all holidays out of the middle of the week. Under his plan, this wouldn't be New Year's Eve, but probably something in the middle of what he calls Winter Festival. I'm Marlene Sanders, CBS News.